Welcome to Now Church. For the latest updates, visit us at nowchurch.com, including live or on-demand video, online giving, and much more. And don't forget to follow Now Church on our social media platforms, including Facebook and Instagram. And please use the hashtag NowChurch. Thank you, and enjoy today's service.
Surprise! I'm surprised, but God isn't. And that's the peace we have to know. God is not surprised. He's got us. So how are you doing this morning? Good. God is good. You're surviving the heat wave we're having? Let's go ahead and I just want to pray one more time. Lord, as we start off this morning with your word, I just thank you that we trust you. We trust you, Lord, that you will speak to our hearts. Lord, I believe that you'll speak through me today what you want us to know, what you want us to receive. I thank you, Lord, that our hearts will be open to receive what your word will do in our lives. God, your word is always working. Your word is always prospering where it's sent. And I thank you, Father, for just ministering today by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, I want to share with you what I call replacement therapy, not hormone replacement therapy, okay? We could talk about that too, but I don't think you guys really want that this morning. But anyway, of course, our theme for the month is head games and the battlefield of the mind was the subtitle, the battlefield of the mind. Our mind is a battlefield. There's a constant battle going on in your mind. And some of you, maybe this is the first time you've heard this and you're like, oh, okay, I'm not alone in this. But there's a constant battle between good and evil. I get that from my grandkids. There's always the bad guy. But there's the battle going on between good and evil in your thoughts. You have good thinking or you have evil thoughts that are constantly happening up here. That struggle is going on. The enemy, our enemy, the devil. You know, I want to stop there for a second because maybe some of you have not really been taught who your true enemy is. Your true enemy is not that bully from high school, okay? It's not your coworker that you clash with. It's not somebody who's done you wrong. It is the devil. He's our true enemy. The Bible says we don't fight against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness, darkness. The devil. The devil is our enemy. And so we have to realize the devil knows the word of God. He does. I've heard it said before, the devil probably knows the word of God more than most Christians. And the thing is you can say, well, where is that in the Bible? Well, how about when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness? When he was tempted by the devil in the wilderness, the devil used God's word to try to tempt him. And so he knows the word, and he knows that the Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So when that battle's happening constantly in our mind, that struggle's going on, what he wants to do is try to come in and destroy your life, let you think a certain way so that you'll be that way in your heart. That's what'll come out. And so we have to be aware. He wants to try to, he knows that the way we think shapes our lives. And he wants to try to get in our head. How many of you understand that? He wants to get in your head. And he wants to try to bring you down. So what do we do? What do we do with this mind field, battlefield? We surrender. We surrender. Now, when I say surrender, I'm not talking about the white flag of defeat. Oh, we just give up, throw in the flag. No, I'm talking about surrender to God. Surrender to him. You know, the Bible says that we should submit to the authority of God, that we, in James 4:7, resist the devil. Submit to God first. Submit to the authority of God first. Resist the devil. So there's a two-parter there. We've got to submit and trust God, but we've got to resist the enemy. There's an active thing going on where we resist. We have to realize, no, I identify that thought. That thought is not good thought. That thought is not the way I need to be thinking. It's not the way I want to see myself. It's not the life I want to build. So in let's look at Romans 12, verse 2 out of the Easy Translation. Do not become like the people who belong to this world, but let God completely change the way you think so that you live differently. Then you will understand what God wants you to do. You will know what is good. You will know what pleases God, and you will know what is completely right. I was having a recent conversation with my husband. We were driving the other day, and we were talking about fear. And man, there's such an onslaught of fear. It's always been. The enemy's always been. That's why God's word tells us that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, authority in God, and love. God's perfect love that casts out all fear, and a sound mind. Do you know the Bible says we're supposed to have the mind of Jesus Christ? That's what he's given to us. But we have to take that up. And so I was sharing with my husband just some things from childhood that he told me. There are two stories I was sharing. He said, you never told me this before. Now, you know, after you've been together as many years as we have been, I thought he's heard every one of my stories at least 3 times. I think I've heard many of his stories. But anyway, he said, you've never told me that. But I was just thinking about when fear knocked on my door as a child. And I'm not talking about literally knocking on the door in the physical, in the natural. I'm talking about in my thoughts. I'm talking about where those things came into my head, and that battle and that struggle was going on because of the things the enemy tried to feed to me through life experiences. Do you have any life experiences? What do? They shape you. They try to shape you. They try to get you to think a certain way, feel a certain way. And so here I was telling him that when I was just really young, I remember we lived in Miami. So I probably was only about 8 years old, if that. And I remember we were driving down the highway. And this is the day way back where we didn't wear seatbelts. It's crazy to think about that now. But anyway, so we didn't wear seatbelts. So we were driving along. My sister and I were in the back seat. My dad was driving. My mom was in the front seat. And we were driving along down the highway. And we look over and we pass a car that was on fire. Now, this is the crazy thing. The car was on fire in the back. And this person was still driving. And I know my parents were like, oh my goodness, do they know? Do they even realize their car's on fire? That's close to the gas tank, you know. What? And they start talking about this. Well, I want to tell you, from that day on for a while in my early years, I would not sit forward in the car. I always had to sit this way and look behind because I always felt like I smelled smoke. Or I always was worried about, oh my goodness, our car's going to catch on fire. And so I lived looking constantly behind me and not even sitting straight and enjoying the view around me. I was so ridden with fear, so gripped by it, that the enemy tried to keep me prisoner by it. Because how many of you know God doesn't want you to live like that or think that way or worry? That's not his best for us. And so it took me a bit to get free from that. But that wasn't the only thing that happened. When I was about that age, we had a boat. And it was my dad's way to just relax. He was a very hard worker. I say he was a workaholic. He would probably would have admitted that. I think he actually did in his later years. But as a workaholic, you know, he thought, well, good, let's get in the boat and let's just go off somewhere for the afternoon or whatever. So we had this restaurant that we would, you know, we got to the sandbars. That was awesome. We'd go out to this restaurant on the water where only the boats could get to, and we'd have good seafood, and we'd just have a nice time. And I remember we had just arrived. We were hungry. We were excited to be there. We get up to the dock. We dock our boat. And there was all this commotion that was going on over to the side. And it was one of the ladies that I think the owner of the restaurant's mom had ended up drinking too much, and she was walking down the dock and she fell over and was starting to drown in the water. And so they had just were rescuing her, and they come running over to my dad and they said, listen, we need your help. Your boat's the fastest boat here, and we need you to take her to land and get help. You know, they're going to be, ambulance is going to be waiting for her, but we need you because you've got the fastest boat. So we didn't really have a choice. We were trying to save this lady's life. And I'm just little. I didn't understand what was happening. I just know that my dad said, go on in the cabin. And so we went in the cabin of the boat, my sister and I. But the door was open this much. And it just, every time we were hitting the waves, because we were really flying, and the door would open, and I'd see this lady. They stretched our seats out flat, and this lady's laying there, and she's grayish and bluish, and she's throwing up water every once in a while, just throwing up all this water, and she looked like death. And I was so traumatized. And so throwing up all the water, she had it all over the floor of the boat. You know, I'm not a boater because I don't even know what, do you call it the floor? What do you call it? I don't know. Deck? I don't know. Okay. So here this was happening, and I'm watching this, and I don't even know. It seemed like forever the trip took. It may have been 20 minutes, and we get to land. The ambulance is there. They take care of her and everything. But that tried to really put fear inside of me. And I want to tell you, from then on the boat, I didn't want to walk on the floor. Now, of course, it was scrubbed out, cleaned out, but I couldn't stop seeing that image of that woman and thinking she's dying, and I'm seeing this and I'm watching this, and I didn't even want to walk on the deck. I crawled over the chairs, and that's how I'd get into the cabin or up on the front. I just did that because I didn't even want to walk there. You're talking about a prisoner of fear because of those things. Now, some of you are already, your thoughts are going to stories you had and experiences you had that tried to bring that fear into your life or tried to affect you some way or another with your thoughts. Maybe you were bullied. Maybe you went through that. I don't know why I have that in my heart today, but maybe that's what is constantly playing in your brain, because you were bullied and the bully picked on you and told you certain things and you believed it. Because who's our greatest bully? The enemy, the devil. And so he tries to tell us all of these things. He tries to work through experiences to try to get us to have these thoughts and these battles in our mind. So, how many of you have gone through where you go through the worst case scenario? You have that play in your mind? You have the worst case scenario. And what does that do? It takes you on a trail of negative thoughts, doubt, fear, hopelessness. That's the only road that takes you to. That's the only way that it'll go if you do the constantly worst case. How about the what if game? What if? What if? What if? What if? What if this doesn't happen? What if that happens? What if that? The fear of the unknown can quickly have us spiral to the dark side. I was reading a devotional. I'm going to read a part of it to you a while back. And it says, when you're worried and anxious about the future, it could be a sign that you have forgotten to be thankful to God for today. When you show gratitude to God for the present, you affirm your trust to God, in God to walk with you into the future. Show me a man who's deeply worried about tomorrow, and I will show you a man who may have failed to be thankful for the blessings of today. You cannot see or appreciate all the blessings and goodness of today because you are already in tomorrow. God gives us strength for each day. He gives us what we need for the moment. Corrie ten Boom said, worrying is carrying around tomorrow's load with today's strength, carrying 2 days at once. Does that hit anybody this morning? Trying to carry 2 days at once is what you do when you worry about tomorrow. The Bible says, don't worry about tomorrow. Today has enough trouble of its own. And so Corrie ten Boom finished with, it is moving into tomorrow ahead of time. We want to be right on time. We need to be in the moment with God. We need to know that he is with us, and we know that he gives us grace for the moment. As I gave my heart and life to Jesus, I began to grow in my knowledge of the Bible. It began to change me, and it allowed me to live in freedom. Let's look at another scripture in Ephesians 4, 23 and 24, again out of the Easy translation. Easy? It's easy to read, easy to understand. Instead, let God's Spirit make you think in a new way. Take up the new nature that God has prepared for you, the nature that is like God's own nature. Then you will live a truly good way that pleases God. Isn't that good? So good. Let God help you think in a new way. So this is where what I call replacement therapy comes in. We need to purposely and intentionally focus on God's word and his promises. What does the Bible say? Because the Bible is the truth. The Bible is the highest form of truth, and it's the highest form of authority, God's word. And so what does it say? What does the Bible tell us? What is it that we are to think? What is it that we are to believe? Do we believe every thought that comes through our brain? No, we need to replace the evil thoughts with good promises, good thoughts and promises from God's word. My mind might be thinking this. But the Bible tells me this. So that's what you're going to be doing. You're going to be replacing those evil thoughts, those wrong things, and put it and replace it with the truth. What the Bible tells me this. The devil says this to me, but God's word says this. You getting it? Yes. Nikki Gumbel says, the way to get wrong thoughts out is to get right thoughts in. Your mind can't be unoccupied. You know, I think about when people say, I'm just going to go clear my head. Well, anyway, all right, so your mind can't be unoccupied. If you don't occupy your mind with good thoughts, the enemy will fill it with bad ones. Very simply put, God's willing to help you with this. Isn't that awesome? God knows this battle we're in. He knows what we go through. He knows that our mind is under fire constantly. And some of your minds work faster than others. So you understand this struggle that's always happening. But God's ready to help us. He wants us to talk to him about our battles. And he waits for us to ask for help. And you're like, well, God, you already know what's in my mind. No, he wants you to talk to him about it. He wants you to express it. He wants you to ask for his help. He wants you to tell him and talk to him, communicate with him about it. And we call that prayer. Praying isn't giving up and giving in to helplessness. It's putting faith into action. So when things don't make sense and you can't figure it all out, because you're not going to, you're not going to be able to figure everything out. You're not going to be able to make sense of everything. But you can say, God, I trust you. I've been saying that a lot this weekend. God, I trust you. Because the mind starts to go, well, what if this and what if that? No, I'm taking one day at a time. God, I trust you. I don't understand, but I'm not going to go through the what ifs, and I'm not going to go through worst case scenario. No. Sometimes you just got to say no. Remember, that's how you resist the enemy. God, I trust you. Devil, no. I'm not going to buy into that. I'm not going to go that route. I'm not going to head that direction. And then I go, God, I'm going to stand on what you say. So guess what that means? To trust God and to find the right things. I'm not talking about meditation and just sitting there going, go to your happy place. And just think about good things. Think of positive vibes. Thinking about the Word of God is powerful. The Word of God is what's going to defeat those evil thoughts, and not just defeat them, but replace them with the thing we need to build our life on, and that's the Word of God. I want to close with these scriptures this morning, this passage out of Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 9. Don't fret or worry. That's the Bible. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries, because God knows we're going to have them try to come and try to take root and take us down that path. But as we pray, it says he'll shape our worries into prayers. Letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do the best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse. Put into practice what you have learned from me, what you have heard and saw and realized. Do that, and God, who makes everything, everything, everything work together, will work you into his most excellent harmonies. Isn't that a great promise to hold on to today? To realize. I want to pray for those of you that battle just sometimes rages so much. You just are like, God, I need help. I need help with what's happening in my head. You know, I know different times my husband has said to me over the years, you know, I can't read your mind. And Husbands, you need to know that and be okay with that. Wives, you need to understand that. We can't read each other's minds. You know, I know this might be, you know, hard for you to grasp today that wives can't read your minds, because husbands, you do feel that way sometimes, that they sure can, but we really can't. And you really can't read ours. And so we have to communicate. We have to say, and sometimes my husband said, boy, something about, I can't read your mind. And I said, and I'm really glad that you can't, because it's a crazy place in here. It's a really crazy place in here. You know, and just like we've heard, men are like waffles, because they have compartments. I said to my husband, this is a man's brain right here. Yeah, because men have compartments. They have those waffle spaces. They can just put everything. Listen, it's the way God made you. And so you've got those different compartments. But women's brains are like spaghetti. Everything's everywhere. Everything's all connected. And that's why I tell my husband, it is a scary place. He goes, yeah, I see that. So don't be afraid to say, man, I'm really going through a battle and I really need help. Would you pray with me? Or God, will you help me? God, you help me. And he's right there to help you. And then you take action. And like I said, be intentional, purposeful to get into the Word of God and replace those things. Well, this is what I'm hearing, but God, what do you have to say about it? That's what you do. So I want to pray for you this morning. If you'd bow your heads right now. And if that battle is raging just too much for you right now, and you just want and need the touch from God this morning, I just want to pray for you. Lord, I thank you that your blood washes our minds. The blood of Jesus cleanses us. I thank you, Lord, that your presence and your word, Lord, make a difference when we focus on you. Lord, when our perspective can change, when our eyes look to you. Lord, when we can trust you and say we trust you, and we grab hold of your promises. You said you wouldn't leave us. You said you would not forsake us. You said though we'd go through things, you'd be right there with us. Lord, I thank you that you took our sickness. You took our disease. You took our pains. Lord, you heal the brokenhearted. You're close to those. The Bible says you're closest to those that have a broken heart. Lord, whatever it is the hearts of your people here need, watching online, those that need to experience that peace in their minds and hearts, we thank you, Lord, that we can turn to you today. Lord, I pray for each and every one. I pray for them, Lord, that they would not have to leave here with that battle raging so heavy, but they leave here with hope where there's been discouragement. They leave with light where there's been darkness. I thank you, Lord. They leave with peace where there's been turmoil because of your presence. And right now, I take authority over those experiences and over those areas that the enemy tries to use, that has tried to open that door of their mind into thinking those ways and that are not of you. Right now, I ask you, God, to transform them as they renew their mind, as they replace those evil thoughts and wrong ways of thinking with what your truth is. Lord, I pray that you'll minister to everyone, help everyone. Thank you, Lord, that you are a good God. You're faithful. Lord, even as we sang so much about you this morning, God, your love is so great toward us. God, there's nothing that you can't do. There's nothing that you can't do. We love you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week. Pastor Tristan. No, it's okay. I got it.
Awesome. Come on, give it up for Pastor Gail, Parent Chief. Come on. You wouldn't know it, but she just realized, well, not realized, but made the decision that she's going to be preaching. Her and Pastor Richard talked about it last night, yesterday evening, and that just came out of her spirit. How incredible is that? Just telling you, just amazing healing, hearing from the Holy Spirit. Talk about it now. Fresh word, hot off the press, psh, coming at you. For those who don't know what a press is, that is when they used to print newspapers. What a newspaper is this thing that they would give to you to let you know the news happening around the world or in your city. Just kidding. Okay. I love what she said. A man who is worried about tomorrow is a man who's not thankful for the blessings of today. How great of a thought is that? That is so good. And one thing that Pastor Richard said years ago that helped me when I was going through some just mind games was he said, he wasn't saying it to me, but he was saying it to the body. And he said, the moment you're in right now is just a snapshot, a small picture of your whole life. Don't stay on that snapshot. Know that this is going to pass. So that's where you're at. Just know how true that is, that this is just a moment that you're going to have a testimony for later on, that you're going to get stronger through this as you hold on to the things of God. He's going to do amazing things. God is not done. He's still working, and he's still good, no matter what.
Thanks for joining us at Now Church. For the latest updates, visit us at nowchurch.com, including live or on-demand video, event registration, online giving, and much more. And don't forget to follow Now Church on our social media platforms, including Facebook and Instagram. And please use the hashtag #NowChurch. Thank you.